Welcome to episode 155 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Borden. This episode is one in a short series on fossils. If you'd like to find the other episodes on this subject, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. There was an error in episode 153 when I accidentally said that some footprints found in the United States Southwest were the oldest preserved footprints in North America. I did edit in a correction, but it got me curious about what actually are the oldest preserved human footprints in North America. There turn out to be a couple of different candidates. On Calvert Island, near Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada, are some preserved human footprints. They appear to belong to three individuals, an adult male, adult female, and a child. A single fleck of charcoal was dated at around 13,200 years old. However, other stratigraphic evidence suggests that these footprints may be a mere 2,000 years old. The sea level has risen quite a bit since 13,200 years ago. If you're looking for evidence of humans on the coast from that time, in most areas, the places you'd want to look are inconveniently underwater. Around Calvert Island, the crust has been forced upward. It's been lifted enough to almost entirely cancel out the increased sea level. The footprints found on Calvert Island were in a layer of clay just below the high tide line. That had to make it a challenging dig, since they had to work in the narrow window between low and high tide. Another set of ancient human footprints are less controversial. In 1961, around 300 kilometers from the United States-Mexico border, a set of human footprints were discovered by construction workers working on a highway in northeastern Mexico. Unfortunately, the precise location of these footprints were lost, and those who excavated them failed to record any of the other soil. Fortunately, another team found other footprints in the same general area. They were able to date the footprints to over 10,000 years old. The footprints were in a sedimentary layer that formed into travertine. Travertine is formed by calcium carbonate precipitating out of volcanic hot springs. It's a type of limestone. Instead of using carbon-14 for dating, they're using traces of uranium. Uranium decays into lead, but it passes through many other chemicals along the way. One of them it passes through is called thorium. Thorium is also radioactive, and it is part of the decay chain that leads eventually to lead. Heavier elements like uranium, lead, mercury, gold, and silver are generally found near volcanic sites. These elements are rather heavy and tend to sink towards the center of the Earth. But the magma in the center of our planet is roiled up by the spinning of our planet and tidal interactions with our moon and sun. Thorium does not dissolve into water. A volcanic hot spring will have uranium dissolved in the water, but not thorium. So any thorium that is present must be the result of the decay of uranium. By looking at the amount of thorium compared to the amount of uranium, it is possible to date travertine deposits. And thus, with a relatively high degree of confidence, they were able to date the footprints to more than 10,000 years. Meanwhile, on Calvert Island, the results are less conclusive. Stratigraphic evidence tells a slightly different story. So what is stratigraphic evidence? Material is laid down on the Earth, layer by layer. Generally speaking, the deeper you go, the older the rock you are looking at. If the Earth were like unto an onion, with nice consistent layers across its entire surface, it would be fairly easy to date fossils and other geological formations. But the Earth is not that simple. The crust is cracked, forming plates. There are places where one plate slides underneath another one. In other areas, they slide sideways along one another. In the deep ocean trenches, lava hardens into new rock, causing the seafloor to spread and pushing the plates apart. In other places, two plates are pushing against each other and being crumpled upwards, forming mountain chains. The result of all this activity is that sedimentary deposits, layered rock, can get turned entirely upside down. Geologists, paleontologists, and archaeologists have to look for certain features so that they know for certain which way up the layers are. If there happens to have been volcanic activity around, layers of ash containing radioactive material can be used to get a good idea about how old the rock you're dealing with is. If you're not that lucky, it becomes a much more complicated puzzle. One method for dating different layers of rock is to use index fossils. Various species have arisen and then gone extinct. If you have a particular fossil in a particular layer, and you know about when it went extinct, then the presence of that fossil lets you know that that layer of rock is older than the last occurrence of that fossil. It's called relative dating. Index fossils are most useful if the creatures were relatively common and widespread. It's also useful if the window of time in which they appeared was relatively short. Sometimes, a couple of different index fossils occur together, and the time period at which they existed overlaps. When that happens, you can narrow down the range of time at which that layer of rock was laid down. It is a long, difficult process, still ongoing today, using radioactive dating when it's available, comparing that to the fossils that exist, and then using those fossils as index fossils where radioactive material isn't available. It's estimated that only 5% of the species that are alive today have been found as fossils. The conditions that create fossils are rare. At any given era or time period, we only get a few percent of the creatures that actually existed at that time. Studying the occurrence and evolution of life through the fossil record is a complicated puzzle, where most of the pieces are missing and spread across the planet and a few billion years into the past. See you next time.